So we're with Alex Beacham of Food and Water Watch at the foot of the Brooklyn Bridge. Alex, what are you hoping to do in terms of getting the governor to take action on the Williams pipeline?
Yeah, so tonight hundreds of New Yorkers are marching across the Brooklyn Bridge to send a powerful message to Governor Cuomo that we won't accept a fracked gas pipeline in New York's harbor. So we're urging him to reject the Williams pipeline. He has an impending deadline, so by May 16th he has to act. And tonight we're sending a clear message. He needs to protect New Yorkers and stand up against the oil and gas industry.
Now, I know a couple of weeks ago at the Ethical Culture Society, he had about 800 people giving a message to his staff person, Dale Burke, that you wanted him to stop it. Did you get any feedback from the governor's office after that meeting?
No, we didn't. I mean, you know, I think she heard the message loud and clear. The crowd was incredibly clear that they wanted the governor to stop Williams. But no, we haven't heard one way or another what he's going to do.
But I keep on hearing that these companies are saying, well, if we don't put more natural gas pipelines in, we're going to have to, you know, stop a new development, new condos. And, you know, a lot of the business leaders get very concerned about that. How do you respond to that little contention?
Yeah, I mean, to us at Food and Water Watch, it's just the complete wrong way to think about the crisis that we're in. You know, we can't afford to build new fracked gas infrastructure if we're serious about hitting any of the state's climate goals. It's time to get serious about renewables. It's time to get serious about energy efficiency. We can do those things. It's happening in Westchester. It's happening across the state. So we shouldn't fall for the industry's scare tactics, and Governor Cuomo shouldn't either.
Now we have the legislature's in vacation mode, I guess, at the moment. They're going to come back here until June. What are you hoping some of the climate change policies they might enact before they go home for the summer?
Yeah, so, you know, we think that this legislature has a real opportunity to move the state off fossil fuels. You know, we no longer have Republicans in charge of either house. We ought to seize that opportunity. And if the legislature leaves town without taking drastic action, mandating that the state swiftly move to 100% renewable energy, and we want them to move there by 2030. But if they leave town without doing that, it's a huge, huge failure. And so the next few months are going to be decisive.
Okay, and if people want to say something to the governor about the Williams pipeline, is there any websites they can go to that gives them the contact information?
There is, yeah. There's stopthewilliamspipeline.org. That's the coalition website. They should go there.
Alex Beacham, Food and Water Watch.
I'm Lee Zishi. I'm an organizer and filmmaker with St. Energy Project, which is a member of the Stop the Williams Pipeline Coalition.
And, you know, I know we're trying to get the governor to, you know, say no to the pipeline. Any response from him so far? Or what type of arguments would you give him if he was paying attention?
We haven't heard so far. All we've heard from his staff is, you know, that they're looking into it and that he'll trust whatever the DEC says. And so what we would ask the DEC to look at is the water impacts of this. That's where they have the most legal ground to stop this pipeline. And obviously digging up 23 miles of New York Harbor in an area where toxins have sunk below the sea surface, I think gives them lots of legal ground to stop this pipeline, because it'll definitely harm our waters.
And what are some of the community groups or prominent individuals who come out and raise concerns about this?
Well, we've had over 60 elected officials come out against that. That includes every single city council person, state senator, and state assembly member from the Rockaways. Also, city council speaker Corey Johnson, New York City comptroller Scott Stringer, public advocate Jemani Williams. And I feel like, you know, almost all the climate groups, you know, anyone who's against climate or for climate action is against this pipeline. But some of the groups that have been organizing in our coalition, in addition to St. Energy, are Food and Water Watch, 350 Brooklyn, New York Communities for Change, Surf Riders. There's a ton of surfers out in Rockaway that are against it. Food and Water Watch, 350.org. So there's, you know, there's been over 250 groups that have signed on to our letter against this. And we're probably close to somewhere now like 20,000 petition signatures. So New Yorkers in general are just very clear against this pipeline.
And what steps will you be taking after today's event?
Well, I think we're going to do another petition delivery to Governor Cuomo. We're having a big call-in week next week to call the governor. And we'll just keep, you know, keeping that pressure up until May 16th when Governor Cuomo and the DEC has to make a decision. And hopefully on that day they'll make the right one, or even before then.
And I assume there's more information on the St. Energy website?
Yeah, you can find out at St. Energy's website or stopthewilliamspipeline.org.
Thank you very much, Lee. So we catch up next with Reverend Billy. So, Reverend Billy, what's your message today about the Williams pipeline?
Well, there's just no ambiguity. There's no hesitation. This is a chance for those of us who are having trouble breaking our schedules, having trouble dropping out of our, you know, New Yorkized, you know, overscheduled lives, to change ourselves enough to be radicals, and to stand in the mouth of a gigantic fossil fuel pipeline and say no, with your body. Got to do it with your body. You know, we've learned the hard way that you can't do this online.
Well, speaking of standing your body, I know yesterday they had the Extinction Rebellion folks here in New York City. In fact, I guess they're day four now in London. Do you think Extinction Rebellion is a welcome new voice in the climate change movement?
Absolutely. Extinction Rebellion is really important, especially in London, where they're just, it's like coming up to the level of Mardi Gras, you know, a real costumed, crazy, it's where fun and change intersect. But I have to say that Extinction Rebellion needs to include everybody, and they haven't done that very good job at that. That's where they have to improve. They have to relax. Talking about getting out of their schedule, they have to invite everybody. Once you invite everyone, you get out of that white privileged mind, and things change a lot. Your activism changes.
Now, I've known you've been doing a lot on a whole host of issues. I remember you've been doing a lot on mountaintop removal. Is there any particular issue that you're also focused on at this point beyond fighting the Williams pipeline?
Thank you for asking. The New York Parks Department, it's the biggest park system in the world, still sprays with Monsanto's Roundup. Well, I guess they call it Bayer's Roundup now. The two companies have merged. Bernie Sanders calls it the marriage made in hell. And they're spraying with this known carcinogen that has like 12 or 13,000 separate lawsuits right now. It's the asbestos moment. It's the tobacco moment for glyphosate, the toxic ingredient, the carcinogenic ingredient in this pesticide. And these guys in parks, they don't seem to have noticed. It puts us all at risk as taxpayers. Who's going to have to pay for those lawsuits? People are dying of cancer at a tremendous rate, especially the farmers that handle this stuff. So we're working at, you know, we're going to the Arsenal up in Central Park, and we're, you know, the Stop Shopping Choir singing songs, you know, greeting the workers. Get with it. Get with it. Amen.
Thank you very much, Reverend Billy. So next we catch up with Joel Kupferman, who's with the Environmental Justice Initiative. You know, Joel, who are some of the people whose voices may not be heard as much on this whole fight about Williams Pipeline?
Well, it's not just the protesters here. It's the guys in blue, the first responders, the cops, and the firefighters. They're the ones that were asked to put out any of the pipeline fires or spills or whatever. And unfortunately, they're not given enough information or enough protection to deal with such disasters. And when it happened after 9/11, we put them in harm's way, and then we just let them just flail and not even tell them what they were hit with. So we're really concerned that these pipelines go from the city where there's highly trained firefighters and cops to volunteer areas where these people are just basically sent in into the fire, literally into the flame, without the right protection, without the right warnings and everything else on the grounds that it's safe. And we just know that there's been history of leaks, of explosions and the like, and we have to depend on people that we don't only not to protect, but we deny them benefits and health benefits. In Pennsylvania, I believe the law still stands that if someone gets hit with fracking fluid, right, it happens in other places, that the doctor's not even allowed to tell the firefighter what they were hit with. So you could see that in weighing in terms of what's safe and not safe, this definitely is on the unsafe side.
So have the men in blue, the people in blue, have they stepped forward and said no to the pipeline yet?
They haven't said. In some ways, they're scared to say do it. But at many, many other demonstrations, they have appreciated the fact that the Environmental Justice Initiative and the Law Project were the ones that told them what they were breathing at 9/11, and they thanked us. So I think they do have an unspoken fear, and sometimes they like come out and say it. But we just know that it's whatever they tell us, it's not safe. And even if you look at the fires in California, it was PGE under the observation of the whole state that they basically found negligent for causing those forest fires, that an outward large electrical structure couldn't be held, you know, in the right standards.
Thank you, Joel Kupferman.